Welcome to the Upstaging Gentlemen. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And this is Nathan Prince, Jack of All Trades. Okay, Legendary Productions. I don't know.
And we are joined today with our host, Alfonso.
Hey, what's up, Alfonso?
How's it going, everybody?
It's going. It's going.
Good.
Well, we talked about it in our last episode that Alfonso's going to kind of be the, I'll make it cheesy, but I think Mike wrote a song called The Voice of America. Did you write a song called that?
Ben Franklin, The Voice of America.
Okay, so I was right.
That was probably about 25 years ago.
I just remembered that. It was a great show.
It was a great show.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Shut your mouth over there.
I'm sorry. Just, it's old news. But Alfonso's going to jump on and kind of be the host of Upstaging Gentlemen and just kind of authentically interview Mike and I. Just ask some questions from the world that you guys send in to us. And please do that, whether it be on wherever we could do that.
Well, why'd you bring up that song?
Because I was going to say he's the voice of America.
He's the voice of America.
But it's also Germany and other places, so I rebutted and took it away.
Well, I would love to be the voice of Germany.
You remember, it goes, Ben Franklin, the voice of America. Ben Franklin, the voice of America.
Yeah, I remember.
No, that was
such a good show.
That was for a children's show.
No, it was. It was for a creative education thing.
We should talk about that one. Not on this episode, but...
Oh, because, you know what? Next episode, because we told him this one. Next episode, we should tell them what we got coming up, actually.
Okay, we'll do that.
Because it's kind of in that ballpark, and then other stuff.
Yeah.
Well, or theater. We teased it on the last episode. We kind of have to deliver
it. We'll end with that.
Yeah,
we'll end with that.
We should do that.
All right, we'll do two questions that you have for Alfonso.
All right, yeah. I've been interested to hear the questions that Alfonso has gathered.
Alfonso, let's hear it.
I think the most interesting thing is... being the host of this now is having access to these questions that you guys get. And it's really interesting because a lot of the questions that you get are things that I ask. So one of the things that somebody asked was, does the best person always get the role? And that made me think bigger about theater myths that exist.
Well, the best, I can answer that one.
Yeah.
No, because I don't always audition for every show.
Oh, gosh. Yep, and Ben Franklin was a great show.
But you answered that right away. So, like, I'll just ask you that right away, both of you. Does the best person always get the role?
Well, well, answer it first. You answer it first, for real.
Well, I guess I guess it's, you got to look at the word best. The best person. What do you mean by best? Are you talking about the most talented? Are you talking about the best person for the role? Or you know, what does that mean?
When I say the best, and I think what this question referenced would be the best talent, I come forward with the best talent, so I get the role.
No.
Because that's what it's measured by.
No.
Elaborate.
That doesn't always happen. Like, if I came to audition for you and I... let's say I was the best just out of everybody, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is the guy right here, and then I give you my conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
And like, hey, come on, we know I'm the best, work with me, I need six of these out of the seven rehearsals off, I need this, I'm gonna need that, come on, I'm the best, can you slip me 500?
I think I'm to tag into that, because I you're right, Mike. I think when it comes to just auditioning alone, we talked about this last episode and previous ones, there's a lot that goes into picking a cast member. You know, we said in the last episode, you're auditioning when you arrive in the parking lot. You may be the best on stage or best for that character role, but if you're I'll use the word knucklehead, then you're not what's best for the role. And sometimes it's, on top of that, it's chemistry of the cast. How long do you get along with everybody? How well do you get along with everybody? Are you trying to miss out on a bunch of rehearsals? Are you a team player? Are you a solo, like, are you an individual that thinks that they're the show? So there's a lot that goes into that. And then sometimes, it's director's preference. You may be perfect for the role, and as I said before many times, you may not be right for this show at this time and this moment or this location, but that doesn't mean that you won't go star on Broadway someday and be perfect for them. So I think the short of answer is, no, not always, because there's a lot of layers to that.
There are, and there's a lot of, you know, when you say the word best, there's a lot of factors about best. I mean, and I think it would be just, it is really helpful when an actor comes in and you know they're going to audition for something. And I say this after just saying that I don't hold auditions, but you know there are times that I have, and if the actor can come in and just really be thinking like about the needs of the show and the needs of the director, like yes, it is going to be a problem if you can't make a bunch of rehearsals.
Right.
It could be a problem if you can't even make one rehearsal. Are you going to have the best attitude? Are you going to try your hardest? Are you going to, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into what, you know, what makes the best.
Well, and two things I have to say. I think sometimes you may think you're the best. Like, I think I'm an amazing, I'm amazing at everything, but anything really. But I'll just say, I think I'm an amazing swimmer. Like, I'll just say that. Put me in a pool and I swim, I'm not going to be the fastest swimmer or the most amazing. So I think we have different versions of ourselves that we may feel like we're the best, but in reality, we're maybe not the best. Sometimes it's nice to go in, and a lot of actors put down this role only, which is fine if that's, we've talked about that in episodes in the past. At least you're being honest and that's all you're willing to take. But sometimes it's nice to go in, I think, and I'm not just saying this as a director, as a performer, I always put where the director sees fit. I always put that. And I would say, I would like to be considered for this role, however, where the director sees fit, because the direction of the director, he's been having or she's been having months to prep for this show, create a vision, create a look, and create this universe. You come in after a month of finding out auditions are coming up, and you quote unquote know the show. Well, you know YouTube, the videos you've bootlegged, you know things you've seen on Broadway or on TV, but that's not the director's vision always. So you don't know that you're the best for it because you don't know the director's vision. You tell me, I want this role only. Oh, you missed out on an opportunity because I could see you playing Jane Doe instead of whoever. And then you missed out on the opportunity to grow as a performer, but really acquire that camaraderie to create that vision the director has, which becomes your vision.
Do you like it when an actor comes in and does that? It says like, I want to be considered for this role. Do you like that, or do you not have a preference, or does that?
I do like if they say, I do like that because I encourage people to chase their dreams. And I think people should come and say, we'll just say Frozen as an example. I want to be Elsa. Let's go for it. Show me why you should be Elsa. Let's do it. Now, I want you to trust the fact if you don't get Elsa and I give you Anna, say, trust that that's the vision I had for the show. It's not personal. It's what the vision that the team and I put together for a longer period of time than you have.
I like that too. The reason I like it is especially if I've not met the person before, mm-hmm. and they're coming in, and I'm going to have to go back to times where I've actually done auditions.
Right.
So it's been a while, but if you get people come in and you don't know, it does help to show the size of the part that they want.
Yeah.
And I want to, like, if they put that they want, you know, the lead role, I'm like, okay, well, they clearly are confident enough to think
show
they can handle the
role.
Or there's other times they come in there and, you know, maybe you don't know this because maybe they do a really good audition and then you look and they're like, I just want a small part. Like, maybe they don't feel like they can handle that big part yet.
People put that on the forms all the time.
Yeah, I want to know that too. Because
they do. They say, supporting role, ensemble only, please. And here's the deal. Some people put that, but then my job as a director and or producer is to look at that and go, I know you want ensemble, but I want to challenge you and give you this because you fit perfectly with the vision of the show. So I do like that they're communicative, but I also want, as a director or producer, I want them to trust the process and know it doesn't matter if I like you or don't like you. It has to do with how well you do and where you fit the vision of the show. Because mm-hmm. there's a lot of people that I work with, not a lot, there's a handful of people I work with that I don't like on a normal day of life. We're not friends hanging out. But you belong in the show because you fit the vision of the show. And that happens a lot.
Yeah. And I think, Alfonso, you'd find that in probably any show. And especially, I think the higher the budget of the show and the higher, I don't know, I want to say higher quality of the actor, but maybe say
experience.
Like the experience of the actor. Are they doing this professionally? Are there agents involved? Are there, you know, there's so many things that can factor into it. I imagine that just first choices, even on the director's list, may not happen all the time.
Oh, that's a fact. There's times that I don't precast, but someone comes out and say they're number 4 out of 200. I'm like, wow, they'd be perfect in that role. And your brain doesn't decide that, but you already have them. You're going, oh, they'd be good in that role. 22 comes out, you're like, oh my goodness, crap. It changes constantly.
Now, how much leverage does that performer have if they really are far and above talented than anybody that you do have come out? Let's say you have an A+ that comes out, and the next that you had was maybe even a C or a C-. So there was such a disparity to where you know the quality of your show would suffer if you went one direction, but you're also kind of having to submit to the will kind of or the demands of what this actor is asking of you. At what point does that, is that ever a factor?
Well, you want to go ahead?
Yeah. Boy, that's a tough one because it's not a situation that I would like to have, you know, just the way that you asked that, how much leverage does the actor have? And I don't mean to say in a way that like, and I don't think that Nathan would say this either, that, you know, we would want to work against the actor. But the word leverage, that's rough because that means the actor's probably coming in with some terms that are not good for the show. If you have to use the word leverage on that. And, you know, best case scenario, you know, we lay out the rehearsal times and we know what we're looking for and they're coming in, they're a team player and they're good with that. But as you said, like, you know, you get a really good actor and, you know, I've had to deal with this and I'm sure that you have it, you know, at some point, but somebody comes in, they're amazing. They're so good. You feel like, oh, I'm just so lucky to have this person. And you realize you're not the only one that has them. They're doing like at least one other show. Because they're really good and they're in demand. And because they're doing the show, they can't make some of your rehearsals because they're doing this other show. And, you know, that's a tough one because that affects the whole cast. And then you have to sit there and look at the cast and say, okay, I'm making the exception for, you know, Bob over here because Bob is really, really, really good. And then you get another cast member. Well, can I have this? No. What? You're not Bob. It's like, it gets into that. It does get tricky. I'm not saying that I haven't done that for people, but it is rough when that happens, when they come in and they're like, hey, I'm willing, unless it's something where I really need this person. Like, let's say that, something happened. I had a falling through with another actor. I cast this person, all of a sudden they get really sick or they find out, oh, my job just switched, I got to move, or, you know, just something like that. They're not able to do it. And then that leaves me in the hole with somebody. And I'm, you know, I call Nathan, quick, I need a favor. Can you come and act in this part? And he's like, well, I probably could make it work, but I'm doing this other show over here. That's a little different because I'm asking him for a favor. I'm taking what he can get. But if an actor comes in and saying, hey, I see the rehearsal schedule that you have laid out, here's the problem. That gets tricky.
Yeah, I think I actually agree with 99.999% of what Mike said. I did tag into that. For me, and this is not necessarily the best quality, I don't really do well with ultimatums. Nathan, don't touch a stove or else. I'm going to touch a stove. Which is a bad thing because I burned my hand and it hurts. But as I've mentioned before, when I talked about sports and theater, if you're a jerk, I don't want you around. I don't care if you're from Broadway. I have a lot of talented friends that have done a lot of professional theater, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't want to work with them on a daily basis or a show basis. And they're wicked talented. They have more talent in their pinky than I do in my entire body. But ultimately, for my job as, I'll say, the director and even as producer, Steve and I would rather deal with someone that's going to bring unity and bring camaraderie to a team and watch them grow from a C+ to a B+ and then to an A+. If they ever reach that, I'll say, hi, good try. You're not there yet. Keep going because we should always grow. But I'd much rather work with someone that's going to be a team player and bring uniformity as opposed to dissension or negativity. So I probably would cast a C+, or I would put to be determined, and I would open up another audition day or recruit somebody, honestly. And now there are times where I'm like, and I don't want to say I permanently do that because I give people chances and go, all right, show me that you're different. Show me you've changed. Show me you're a better person. And then I give that opportunity, and hopefully they surpass my expectations, and we don't have to be friends, but we can work together professionally and be respectful to each other. If not, peace out, Brussels sprout.
You know what? Honestly, a C plus is not that far away from a B, and a B can quickly become an A.
Exactly. 100%. So I think I'd rather the C plus, to answer your question. I know we only have like 5 or 6 more minutes, so we should probably, instead of getting to another topic.
5 or 6 more minutes.
You guys answered that one great. I had a few, but we have a cliffhanger we left the listeners on.
But we do need to talk to them about, kind of what's coming up and like stuff like that, because we left them hanging an episode ago.
Okay. Well, you want to head into that?
So basically, John, I thought John was telling me to get closer to the mic. I'm like, my tooth just fell out, but I'll keep getting closer.
We can pick it up after the
just
show.
Just a little bit more. Okay. Okay. 5 inches. All right. I'm right here. Perfect. Okay. So something that kind of Upstaging Gentlemen and Legendary are going to be kind of launching kind of co-together. We're going to be doing Legendary Live. We're gonna launch that in April. We're gonna find a date for that, lock in a date for that, and then we're gonna bust out some stuff. You want to kind of elaborate what that is?
Yeah. Well, I had come to your Legendary Nights, mm-hmm. when you did those, and I like those. It's has the feel of what I do over at Play With Your Food, and so I enjoyed coming to that, and you know, just having the food, you know, the dessert served, and
seeing the wine,
the sparkling cider, seeing the tables, the nice tablecloths and
chandeliers.
It had the nice feel to it, and I like that, and that's kind of what I do. So my season is going to end in March, and so that was when we started talking, like, man, it's been a while since we've actually, it's been a while since we've done a podcast, but it's been even longer since we've actually done a project together. Mm-hmm. Normally we just, that's why we started doing the podcast, because we just would get together and talk about our projects. And we were like, hey,
adventures.
We should record this sometimes. We have some good conversations.
So the kind of streamlined thing is, it's kind of like a Saturday Night Live feel. And then by the end of what we're going to do at the end of the show, like the last 15 to 20 minutes, we're going to have like a guest artist, whether it be a vocalist or performer. So we'll do some sketch stuff, improvise stuff. And then we're still kind of growing the whole idea, but we're definitely going to be launching. So we're hitting the ground running with this. Mike's already sent me over a couple of sketches and scripts, and then I'm working on one. And I actually know Alfonso, and then actually Kathy, who's been on our show before, she's going to help out with that as well. And then we're gonna develop the idea and just grow and have a lot of fun performing and just bring a whole other kind of avenue of entertainment.
Yeah, we say Saturday Night Live because that's probably the most well-known one. But there's so many great sketch comedy shows, mm-hmm. out there, and there have been just throughout the years. Every mm-hmm. time I think, I've heard of a bunch of them, I find out how far back sketch comedy has gone. And that type of thing. And Saturday Night Live hardly was the first one.
It actually goes all the way back to vaudeville, when people are falling down stairs and doing all kinds of that.
Yeah, way back in the day. It's fun. You get to play all those, just tell stories really quickly. A lot of different characters, lots of laughs coming in and out. If there's something, a sketch that, maybe the audience doesn't personally enjoy, another one will be up in 3 minutes.
Yeah, and if you want to reach out to us about being one of our featured artists, as kind of the closeout of our show, please reach out to us, and awesome.
That's something we'll be assembling soon. The team of actors, some musicians, get some musical numbers in there.
It's gonna be legendary.
Legendary,
and it'll be playful. I don't know how to type.
Playfully legendary.
There, I was trying to get somehow to play with your food.
No, that's not a good playfully legendary.
Play with Mike? No, that doesn't work either.
That does work. No. That works better than playfully legendary.
Okay, I bet it does.
Play with Mike and Nathan.
Yeah. All right. So
I just went by Mike. I haven't gone by Mike in forever. I just call myself Mike.
I call you Mike.
Well, I call myself that.
Good. Well, I'm talking into a Mike.
Yeah, look at that.
Hey, Mike. Anyhow.
You seem to have nailed that 5-inch distance, too.
All right. Cool. So that's coming up. And then please follow us. We'll be sharing a lot more on social media, and we'll be rocking that out and having some fun. And we'll have more to talk about that as we further along on the podcast. It'll keep you updated, but also get you involved, hopefully.
Yes.
So, yeah. Anything else? What else do you want to talk about?
I don't know. Alfonso, we got anything else?
I think you guys pretty much tied it up with a nice bow there. So,
All right. Wait, John's saying we actually have 9 minutes.
So we get.
I'm not good at math.
Give us another.
Well, I've got another great question.
Okay.
Perfect.
We're going to do another question.
I'm going to tag into it then, into what I was talking about with that question about the best person always getting the role, because I thought of that immediately. I was like, well, that's a myth. That's a myth. Well, what are other myths that exist in theater? So just an interesting one that I thought is hard work always guarantees success. I put in the hard work, so I will succeed. Is that always the case? And I know we only have 9 minutes.
Well, I'll start this one out. I don't think it's always... I guess it depends on what your definition of success is. I think if you grow a little and improve a little, that's success. If, like, we've been talking about A plus, C plus, B plus. I went out of order because I'm not good at ABCs. But I think I'll get better at it right now. See, I'm going to improve. A, B, C. There we go. So... with that said, I think it's a matter of how you label success. A lot of people think, and I was talking to an actress that's in a couple of our productions, and she's helping out with the Illusionist show we're doing coming up. And I was talking about she's doing a lot of auditioning. She auditions 8 to 12 submissions a day. And she was talking about how it's discouraging and how she feels like she's a failure. But then she'll land 1 out of 100 auditions, hopefully. And I kind of brought it to her, I'll just say her forethought. And I was like, hey, the reality of it is you are succeeding. You're working to grow a craft and art that you do. And that is success. You're applying, you're being submitted. If you get 1 out of 100, that's success. Because I may have only got 1 out of 1,000, but that still is successful. So I think it's how you level success. But I think it's more about the growth is what you should focus on, as opposed to the word success.
Now, some people have a very narrow view of success. Like, they're going to say, if this one thing doesn't happen, this is the goal, this one, you know, one little thing, and 500 other great things can happen while they miss that one goal.
You missed out on those other things.
And sometimes they don't see that.
Yep.
They don't, you know, other people watching can sit there and be like, are you kidding? You, This was incredible. Look at what you've done for yourself. This is so great. You've grown in all these areas. This is great. But they're so focused on that one thing. Sometimes they can feel like that. Like, I just failed.
I think I can see. I've fallen into that before, where I want 300 people in the seats, but only 200 show up. But then because I'm in a funk, I get grumpy about the fact that it's not 300. It's 250. I missed out on the opportunity, the success that the cast has done, the production team has done. I missed out on the fact that those 250 people got to experience a great show, a great cast, a great production overall, that I missed the opportunity to celebrate the joy and the fact that they were changed, affected, moved by being a part of that. And then I'm worried about the 50 that aren't there.
And the thing is about that is what you don't realize at the time, or, you know, you said you fall into it. I fall into it. I think everybody can fall into that. If you had the choice, you never would have picked the 300. If you had this choice, would you rather have 300 people and a show that's not good, or an incredible show that 200 people got to see? You would take the incredible show. But then we don't focus on the 300.
Right.
But the fact is, we just had an incredible show. And you can lose sight of that.
And that's where I kind of fall into what we were talking about earlier, right? Or even just recently, I talk about how do your best and do better. When I get 250, I want 300. And when I want 300, I want 1,000. Then when I get 1,000, that's part of the growth. But I think sometimes it's a good reminder to step back and go, don't forget the success of what you've had and what's been either through God or through your friends or family or your production team. Don't forget to celebrate the success of what you had while still trying to grow. And that's been very hard, which Legendary as a whole, and even in your personal life, to just reflect and go, look how happy I am and look at what we've accomplished. It doesn't mean it's not we're going to keep growing and learning, but to find that balance has been a growing factor in my life continually. Even as a parent, all those things, I forget sometimes to go, hey, thanks, or wow, look what we've done, because I'm always looking at where we're going. Which is a part of growth, and I think that's a good, I'll say, entrepreneur to keep growing, but to really reflect on the positivity of what you've accomplished.
Alfonso, how did you word that exact question again?
Does hard work always guarantee success?
and I think, you know, if I were talking to somebody and were giving them that, I think that when you work hard, it will always pay off.
Yes.
And it may not pay off in the way that you think, though.
Not the success that you may be thinking, but you're still going to have some success.
But, yeah, I just don't, I don't know. I don't recall a time that you work really, really, really hard at something, you put yourself into it, and it just completely goes to waste. Like, I mean, maybe it doesn't work out this time, but maybe you've developed a new skill. Maybe you've learned something. Maybe this can come back. You can use it later.
What do you take away from it?
It's like if you've worked hard and you have grown, or you worked hard and you accomplished something, I think that that's saying something. That's something to be proud of.
So on a basic level, yes, our work will lead to success. It just depends on how you define that word success.
Absolutely. I think you nailed it on the head about some people having a very narrow view of it. But when you look big picture, there's a lot of success you can find if you're putting work in.
People will look at it in like the here and the now. Mm-hmm. They work at something. Maybe it's to audition for a role. They work at something. They work really, really, really hard. They go out for that role. It doesn't happen. Oh, no. But you don't know where all that work's going to take you 2 years down the line, 3 years down the line.
So much there that you're growing each time.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, once you start that, hard work, that growth process, you're working towards it. Don't stop. Even if it doesn't work out for you, man, just keep going, blow past that goal, find a different goal and keep working hard. It will pay off.
What is it? I found a thousand, is Einstein to say, like, I found a thousand ways not to do something.
No, that wasn't Einstein.
It wasn't Ben Franklin. I know that.
It wasn't. It was Thomas Edison.
Yeah. Thomas Edison. What's the actual saying?
Oh, he said he never failed. Yeah. He simply found like a thousand ways that didn't work.
Yeah, and that's authentic. That's real.
Well, people quote that all the time, and you hear people say that
Thomas Edison. I got it wrong.
Yeah. But they'll say it like it's a joke, like Thomas Edison said this.
It's real.
But. I really think that he that was part of his process. Like I didn't fail. I was experimenting. I was looking for the things that worked, the things that didn't work, and I found them all. And then I found what did.
Yeah.
And it's that simple.
Yep. I love it.
Perfect. All right. Well, that's a perfect way to end it. So for the Upstaging Gentlemen, this is Alfonso here with Nathan and Michael, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Later.
Bye.